welcome to our favorite place to be on a Sunday morning. If you would go ahead and stand with us, we invite you in today. This set is really, 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 really special and great. The evolution of acknowledging who God is and who He is in you and the love that He has for us. And I hope, as we all have felt an expansion of compassion for other people today, that you can enter into worship with us, whatever that looks like for you, and that you can take this time to dwell and just to be in the presence of God and to feel His love and healing and be happy and to say to yourself and make a decision right now to know that it's a good day and that everything is going to be okay. And we are here in the presence and in the love of God. And let's just enjoy that and embrace it.
You're like starlight in the dark. Smiles can't conceal you. Every glimmer is a spark, catching fire as you break through. You're not far away, you come in close. And oh, even as I wait, you come in close. You're like summer in the night. The sun goes down, but still I feel you. And every shadow's turning. like starlight in the dark. And the smiles can't conceal you. Every glimmer is a spark, catching fire as you break. You are God.
The next two songs are about a specific human ability that we have that nothing else on the planet has. We have the ability to meet each other and create relationships between each other. And that's the most powerful and important thing that I've found anywhere. I mean, it's easy to look out there and see money and materials and growth and all this stuff that we spend all day focusing on. I spend it too. No, I'm not better than anybody else. I think about it all the time. And in the background to my life are all these people. And every single time I've ever struggled, every single time I've ever been happy, there's always been these people, and they're around me. And I can see it so clearly now that that is what's important to me. And the next two songs, they talk about love. And I'm going to use love as just the thing that's between me and you. I draw it from you, you draw it from me. And when I tap into it, when I'm not in my head, when I'm not closed, when I'm open to that transfer, everything gets better all the time. Think about the analogy of that is what we have with God all the time, a transfer. I have it with you. I have it with God. Some people have it with nature. You can have it. That is what we're building here. That's what these moments are building, is this relationship, this community, all of you coming together in this moment to open, to go up and down in the ladder from your higher self to your lower self and take it in. In these moments, you can have your pain. You can open up and let that pain just digest because it's safe here. There's so much that hurts, but there's also so much that's happy and glad. And right now, all that stuff's going to intermingle and it's going to digest. And you can let it go. And the next two songs are about that.
I could chase after rings, first of all on my knees, lose myself to be found where you want me. I could do all the right things, sing the words till they bleed, but I know it's just noise if I don't have love. So I won't waste my breath if it's not for love. And I don't have the heart if it's not for love. No cost, 'cause there's no fear in love, but there is a cross. I could speak like angels, prophesy knowing all. I could live with the faith to move mountains. And should I die like fear a cross.
Song that leads into this, because it's one thing to love each other in this community, in this people, and it's another thing to love people that you've never met before, and even more another thing to love people that aren't like you. And that is an absolute struggle, because I don't leave Georgia very often. I don't leave the country very often. But when I have, I met a whole bunch of people just like me that look nothing like me, don't speak the language that I speak, but there's open between us if I let it. And moments like these, when you're digesting the pain, we're all the exact same thing. And there's 8 billion of us all doing this at the same time, trying so hard to get rid of that pain and turn it into something good. And I've been so incredibly lucky to have people help me do that. And if you're here, you have people that help you do that too. This is a safe place to feel all that stuff. And that's so wonderful.
Praises so have spoken. All nature and science follow the sound of your voice. And as you speak, breath evolving in pursuit of what you said. If it all reveals your nature, so will I. I can see your heart in everything you said. Everything is sky. Magic could have
You know, the last few weeks we've been praying over a long list of people that are His. They don't know it yet, but they're going to be awakened to it, and they're going to find out who they really are. And so, Father, we just continue as a body of believers, as a family that you put together. We pray for these people, these names, that, Lord, you know every one. The very hairs of their head, you said, are numbered, that not a sparrow falls to the ground that you don't have knowledge of, that you see every person, everything. Lord, I pray for those right now who are a little confused about life. And Lord, when they get into that place, Lord, you're the one that will bring them out of that darkness into your marvelous light. We just speak that, send forth your ministering spirits. Prepare their hearts, Lord. Use us, every single one of us, to touch someone's life and point them to you. Let the scales fall from their eyes and see, as Paul saw, who you really are, and how kind and loving and gracious you are, and how you love everyone. And we just in advance thank you, as over this next several months, as we see these lives come in to your wonderful grace. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You may be seated. Wow, that's a powerful song. John Reed's in the house. John, your name's been spoken a lot around here lately, and one of the best testimonies I heard out of it was somebody was eating lunch with Dusty, and they decided they weren't going to eat the chips and the sauces and all, and Dusty said, "You're not going to eat the chips and sauces." They said, "If John can quit meth, I can quit this." So I thought, man, if we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Amen. All right, we're going to close out a series we've been on for quite some time on the 12 names of God. It gives us who God is, tells us His character. And if it tells us who God is, it tells us who we are. Because the Bible says in Genesis chapter 1 that we were created in His image to be like Him. Created in His image to be like Him. And that image got marred in the garden. But ever since then, there's been this awakening and recovering of that godness that's in all of us, that's in every person on the face of the earth. And they have to be awakened to that. They have to come back to the place. I like what Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. He said, come back to God. As a matter of fact, this is what he said. He said, you and I are ambassadors for Him. And we should go with a ministry of reconciliation, reconciling all people back to God, not seeing anyone after the flesh, but after the Spirit. And when you go with this ambassador spirit, say to them, come back to God. How can we say come back to God if they're not with God? Because that's where they came from. Before you were conceived in your mother's womb, God knew you. Amen. And He just decided to put you in this particular body, in that particular family when He did it. But you came from Him and you're going back to Him. Bible says in Ecclesiastes, right at the end of the book of Ecclesiastes, he says, one day this body will return to the dust from which it came, but the spirit will return to God from which it came. Is that good? Aren't you glad that God knew you before you were conceived in your mother? If He knew you then, how much more does He know you now? I just, every time I start praying now, my daddy used to pray like this all the time. My daddy, I don't know of any prayer I really hear my daddy pray that he wouldn't say, Lord, the very hairs of their head are numbered. Not a sparrow falls to the ground without you knowing it. I mean, I heard that over and over, and it's just been churning in my spirit that the very hairs of our head are numbered. Wow. Even when I brushed, some of it came out this morning. I've kind of noticed a little thinning, Joe. Yeah, I've been kind of troubled about it, so I'm letting it grow. So, But I lost some hairs this morning. But you know what? He still knows the number. That's how in tune with me he is. That's how in tune with you he is. If he knows the very hairs of your head are numbered, how much does God know about you? Can we review a little bit? I've got a big ending for you, but can we just review just for a moment? This big old word, kainos, hanging up here, been hanging since the first of the year. And if you're visiting with us, that's not a college fraternity. It sounds like one, but it's not. It's a Greek word for the word new in the Bible. And there's two Greek words for new in the Bible. There's neos. Neos means it's brand new. It never existed. There was a time when God created something out of nothing. He created the earth. He created everything he created. He spoke it into existence. That was brand new. Since then, he's been renewing. And the word for, another word for new is kainos, which means renew. And in Revelation chapter 21, he says, John said, I saw the new Jerusalem coming down out of heaven as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice saying, the tabernacle of God is with men, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people, and they shall serve me, and we'll be together forever and ever. And I'll wipe away all the tears from their eyes, and there'll be no more pain, no more sorrow, no more crying, no more death. For all the former things have passed away. And he said these words, for behold, I am making all things new. And so we have been in a process for thousands of years of God making all things new. And he's doing that by hope. Say hope. Hope is the anchor of our soul. Hope is the expectation of good things to come. Hope is the word, the power that faith and love hinge on. You can't have faith without hope, because the Bible says faith is substance of things hoped for. Substance of things hoped for. Substance of things hoped for. You got to expect good before you can have faith. Aren't you glad you got a future and it's bright and it's good? It's not bleak. The best is yet to come. I like that. The older I get, less than a couple of weeks, I'll turn another number. And it's quite a number. It's 67. Who said woo? Sometimes you just don't know when you say amen, do you? But seven's a number of perfection. Yeah. That's when I'm really going to get right. That's when I'm looking forward to. I'm glad 67's here. I wouldn't want to go back for nothing. I really wouldn't. I'm loving life. Loving life. All right, we got a word for you today. You ready? One verse of scripture in Ezekiel chapter 48, and it's the very last verse in Ezekiel. The distance around the entire city will be 6 miles. And from that day, the name of the city will be, the Lord is there. Now, I'm telling you how this came about. It's the word Jehovah Shammah. The Lord is there. How many know it's important to know where the Lord is? How many know if the Lord is there, then I need to be there? I want to be there where there is. So I read that and the Spirit spoke to me and said, I want you to read the book of Ezekiel, the whole book. I said, now? He said, now. He not only said now, he said, and slow. This is Monday morning. I said, God, you know Ezekiel's a big old book with long chapters, and it's boring. And it's depressing. Israel was not in a good place at all. There are words like detestable, unfaithful, You are horrible. You have wandered away from your purpose. You've backslid. You got so far. Your prophets are evil. Even got a whole chapter on women prophets. Said they were evil. Your leaders are evil. Your priests are evil. Your shepherds, they are evil. Everybody's evil. And this is God's people that he had brought out of Egypt and brought them into a land flowing with milk and honey. But because of their behavior and their getting away from him, their enemies came in and took advantage of them. I mean, you know, your enemy always wants to take advantage. There's nothing worse than somebody coming in trying to take advantage of something, of someone's misfortune. But it was, this is what they said. They quoted an old proverb, says, time passes and prophecies come to nothing. They said, the Lord's not with us, but the time has come. I want to tell you this, and I want to tell every person here, you better take this as a personal word. The time has come for every prophecy to be fulfilled in your life. The time has come for every prophecy to be fulfilled in your life. When I read that, how their enemy came in, and you read the book of Ezekiel, and it sounds like God's doing some really rough things with his kids, and he's not. You know, as the scripture, it says, and God hardened Pharaoh's heart. If you read that face, you would think that God reached down into Pharaoh and hardened his heart. That's not what happened. Pharaoh's heart got hardened because God said, let my people go, and he didn't want to let them go. So indirectly, you could say God hardened his heart, but God didn't reach into Pharaoh's heart and harden it. It was hardened because he wasn't willing to let his people go. You see, we harden our own hearts when we choose to go another way. And so the enemy came in. Their enemies started taking advantage of them. Several weeks ago, I loved this illustration, and Chris, I hope you're okay with me sharing it. If not, it's too late. But Chris has managed these jets for this very wealthy oil man in Oklahoma City for years. For years, he's managed his two jets. He's 50-some-odd years old, and he had a heart attack and died about a month ago. And Chris was out there, and he and Dusty, of course, went to the funeral. And he's just a really kind, loving man to them. Well, while he was out there, a man calls Chris, and he wants to buy those two jets. Chris could have made thousands. He's totally in charge. He could have made thousands and thousands of dollars by selling this man these two jets, but this man wanted to steal those two jets. This man wanted to come in and take advantage of a family that didn't know what they were worth. And of all the things I've seen Chris Tucker do, that I said to myself, that's spiritual. When you stand your ground in your integrity and you don't let somebody take advantage of a situation, because that's just not right. And so these enemies came in Israel. They were hurting. They were beaten down. They brought it on themselves, but that doesn't matter. If you're hurting, you're hurting. It doesn't matter how you got there. Pain is pain. We of all people should never say, well, they made their bed, they can sleep in it. I know you've said that, haven't you? We've all said it sometime probably in our past. Well, they made their own bed. I'm glad when I make my own bed, I don't have to sleep in it. Matter of fact, I don't make my own bed. So, but God's too loving. He's kind. And God was very hurt for what had happened. But I want you to listen to this scripture. To Israel, he said, I'm bringing you back, not because you deserve it. I'm doing it to protect my holy name, on which you brought shame. Wow. I'm bringing you back not because you deserve it, because you're mine. Because you're mine. Because you're mine. Chet said something to Dusty a few weeks ago. Dusty said something to the effect, Chet, I'm going to whip you or spank you or something like that, which we all threaten our kids from time to time. And Chet said, Mama, why would you want to hurt your little boy? Why would you want to hurt your little boy? And then he said, I wouldn't hurt my little boy. Dusty told me that. I said, what'd you say to that? What do you say to a little boy? Don't hurt me. I wish I'd have known that when I was little. I wish I'd have had that revelation when Daddy came at me. I go, you're not going to hurt your little boy, are you? Well, God didn't want to hurt his little boys. He didn't want to hurt his little girls. And so he says, I'm going to bring you back, not because you deserve it, because I love you. Because I love you. And then it says this. They will accept responsibility for their past shame and unfaithfulness after they come home, live in peace in their own land with no one to bother them. Wow. You think you're going to get somebody to come to their senses when they're out of their senses? You're out of your senses. You can't go correct people and get them back. They'll admit, take responsibility when there's peace around them and nobody's bothering them. I never yet walked up to somebody and said, I hear you having an affair. I hear you, you're in an affair. Are you in an affair? I never had nobody say, yeah, glad you asked. I've been meaning to tell you, Pastor. I was going to come to you next week and let you know exactly what's going on in my. Nobody's ever done that. Nobody takes responsibility until they get back to peace. They'll take responsibility, but they got to get back right. Okay. You can't go make somebody do something. And the Lord, the Bible says it's the kindness of God that brings men to repentance. It's his kind. It's his love and his mercy that reaches out and brings people in. That's who you want. Don't you want that kind of God? Who loves you so much that he'll reach out into your... Read the book of Ezekiel and then you'll think you're a saint. Just read the book. It's horrible. It's horrible. I mean horrible. It's a nightmare. And then when I got through reading it, I called myself Saint John. I thought, my gosh, I am a saint. And you see where the depths you can go. And even in that far down, God reached down and pulled him out. The Bible says he reached into the miry clay. And he put me on a solid rock to stay. My Uncle Van, Andrew, not Van, Uncle Van wasn't preaching or singing in the church. But Uncle Andrew was, and he used to sing the song, when he reached down his hand for me. I was lost and undone without God nor his son, and he reached down his hand for me. Oh, when he reached way down for me, when he reached down his hand for me. I'll never forget that day when he reached down his hand for me. He's got to reach down because you are down. But he didn't reach down to push you down. He reaches down to pull you up. Pull you up. And this is what he said. And this is what he says to us today. I'm going to bring you back. I'm going to restore the temple. I'm going to rebuild the walls. All of this is going to happen. There's going to be a river that's going to flow out of that temple. And that river is going to bring healing to everything it touches. But he says, when I bring you back to the land, this is what I want you to do. I want you to respect the Sabbath day again. I want you to honor the Sabbath to remind you that you're my people and you need to be separate and set apart from other people. I want you to bring the tithe in, the first fruits in. I want you, if you will do that, and acknowledge me one day a week, if you will let this be the time of realigning yourself, renewing your hearts and your minds to me, then you will remain a healing nation with a healing flow, a river flowing through. out of you. In Ezekiel 47:12, he says, fruit trees of all kinds will grow along both sides of the river. The leaves of these trees will never turn brown and fall. There will always be fruit on their branches. There will be a new crop every month, for they are watered by the river flowing from the temple. The fruit will be for food and the leaves for healing. If I could give you a spiritual graphic, this is what I would give you. This is what I believe should be is an appropriate spiritual graphic. I believe from Genesis, it goes kind of like this. And it comes down to the cross. And from the cross, it's been going like that. So I'm a firm believer the best is yet to come. Because in Revelation chapter 22:3, it says, no longer will there be a curse upon anything, for the throne of God and the Lamb will be there, and his servants will worship him. And then he went on and talked about a river that's flowing in that city, and by all the trees and the leaves of those trees are for the healing of the nations. That's the ultimate renewal that's going to happen one day. Aren't you glad of that? That we're in the process of this happening. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 19-22. Now you Gentiles are no longer strangers and foreigners. You're citizens along with all of God's holy people. You are members of God's family. Say God's family. Aren't you glad of that? Together we are his house, built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets. And the cornerstone is Jesus Christ himself. We are carefully joined together in him. You're going to see what that means in a minute. Becoming a holy temple for the Lord. Through him, you Gentiles are also being made part of this dwelling where God lives by his Spirit. Where God lives by his Spirit. We are indwelled by God himself. We are individually a temple of the Holy Spirit, and we are corporately a temple of the Holy Spirit. And that's your there. That's the place that you and I need to be and recognize how precious, as Jacob was sharing this morning, he was pretty preaching my message, sharing how precious the body of Christ really is, the family of God. There's nothing like it. Nothing like it anywhere. The church is not a building. He said, upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against. The church is a people. The church is an inhabitant of God. Wherever you are, he is. What a thought. There's a man named Elijah one day, and this is an old message I'm going to preach you in 2 minutes. Elijah was at a place, and he says, I want you to go to this brook. And you can drink what? Because he was being chased by his enemies. He said, you go to this brook, and ravens are going to come and feed you. And you can drink from this brook. Now, the brook ran dry, and then God said to Elijah, Elijah, I want you to go to another place. I want you to go to Zarephath, because there I prepared a widow woman to feed you. Boy, that takes a lot of ego out of the way. A prophet of God and a widow is going to take care of him. And then after a raven and a widow, it ended up that he was taken care of by angels. If you're not willing for the ravens and the widows to take care of you, you won't have the angels take care of you. I remember my dad, he used to pick up this man every Sunday morning, every Sunday night, and every Wednesday night for church. And he was blind. He had some disabilities. He played the guitar upside down. Played it like this. But boy, he could play that guitar. And Daddy picked him up 3 times a week. Every time the church doors were open, we were there. Y'all think y'all have it bad. My gosh. Some people can't make it church once a week. I know. Hey, Pat, I don't think I ever heard you chime in. Man, I'm preaching. My sister-in-law chiming in. Oh, boy. Good gracious. Man, fasten your seatbelt. We're fishing a go. So, where am I going with that? Boy, you threw me. Back to Daddy. And so, one time, he tried to give Daddy some money. And he was a very poor man. And he tried to give Daddy, you know, a dollar bill. And Daddy wouldn't take it. And Daddy went for months not taking that man. And the Lord just really spoke to Daddy and said, you better start taking that man's money. It ain't for you. It's for him. And you drop your pride and ego and you take that man's money because he's going to be blessed for it. And so Daddy started taking that dollar bill or $2 bill every so often. It's blind man put in his hand because it was for him. Now I want to close with this on how to find your place. Do you see in Ephesians, he says, they are carefully joined together. They are carefully joined together. I want to give you three things, and I believe if you'll take it to heart, you'll find out that you will be so much more appreciative of your church family, of your brothers and sisters in Christ that he has joined you together with. Because it's not that we choose that. God chooses that. Bible says he takes the solitary and puts them in a family. He puts them in a family. And Ezekiel is about the glory of God leaving the temple, not the Spirit of God. The glory of God left the temple. Glory is a word that is so difficult to define. It really means weight. And what it is, the weight of his presence. It is the weight of his presence. It's, you feel, we years ago, Penny, we so downplayed the word feel. It ain't about feelings. Yes, it is. Yes, it is. You try to love somebody you don't feel for. I know Barbara just love it. I say, Barbara, you know I love you. It ain't about feelings. I don't feel it, but you know, I love you anyway. Yeah, that's going to go over like a lead balloon. Yeah, that'll bless her. That'll make her feel good. I thought for her to say to me, Bjorn, I love you, but I don't feel it. Well, thank you. This is going to be a wonderful ending of life. Wow, you don't feel it. I love feelings. I like to feel good. Right? Come on. Everybody likes to feel good. You're an emotional being. He created you with emotions. He created you to feel. And one of the ways you know you're in the right place is you feel his presence. Feel his presence. Second way is that you have found your tribe. Chapter 48 of Ezekiel, the whole chapter is about the tribes being joined to their tribe and the tribes put in the place that they were supposed to be. After I was in the ministry about 5 years, some very well-meaning people and well-meaning mentors told me, you need to leave Griffin. You need to get out of your hometown. Because a prophet doesn't have any honor in their hometown. And I believed them, Billy. And I was a part of a denomination, and that denomination at that time, all you had to do was call the district office. Any church is available looking for a pastor. So I called, and they told me one in Mapleton, the superintendent contacted the church in Mapleton, and I went up to try out. And It was a much larger church, beautiful facility. They offered me $200 a week, more than I was making, plus a house to live in and all the utilities paid. My daddy was with me. He said, "Man, what a deal." I thought, "Daddy, you really want me to leave too?" I mean, when daddy turns against you, you know, wow. But they weren't my tribe. I knew they weren't my tribe. I didn't have this chemistry with them. They were larger and they were going to pay more, but that didn't matter. That wasn't my tribe. That wasn't where I needed to be. And I'm telling you something. God's got a tribe for you. Maybe you've already found your tribe here. I hope you have. But God's got a tribe for you to be joined to. And in that tribe, there's a presence of God that's meaningful and powerful because you're part of that tribe. You feel His presence. You found your tribe. And you're being fed in your spirit. You feel His presence. You found your tribe. And you're being fed in your spirit. Let me tell you something. There's not anything maybe in your life that's more important than that. There's not anything in your life more important than your spiritual being, who you are. There are people who have left here who shouldn't have left here. There are people who left here that should have left here. Because it wasn't their tribe. It wasn't their, it wasn't where they're supposed to be. We're praying for a big number of people. And you know what? Out of that great number of people, some of them are going to find this place. Some of them not. They may go somewhere else, but that's okay. They find their tribe. Nothing more important to know I feel His presence. I found my people. I love what Ruth said. Your people will be my people and your God will be my God. Ruth, I don't have any more sons. I don't have anything else to offer you. Everything's gone. It doesn't matter. Your people will be my people and your God will be my God. And that's where I'm going to find His presence, His purpose, His everything for my life. So never take for granted. Never take, and we all do. We all do. I don't think there's a person here that we don't at times just take for granted things in our life. But the worst thing we can do, familiarity breeds contempt. We had to be careful that we never let familiarity into our life to where that person, that friend, that relationship, that husband, that wife, that son, that daughter, that we take for granted, that it's that son and that daughter was placed there by the God of the universe, put in your lap by the God of the universe, put in your family by the God of the universe. When you're singing all that about God, this awesome, awesome, awesome being chooses to build His kingdom with people, chooses to take a little Jane a few months ago and place her into that family's life, not just to give them a little girl. She's part of a kingdom that's being built. It's a way more higher purpose than just being in that family. It's a kingdom of God that's being built in the earth. And your best days are ahead of you. Your best days are ahead of you. God's got you in His hand. And don't you fret nor worry about anything. The best is yet to come. And the pain and the hurt that you still feel now, it's going to subside. And the glory of God's going to rise up. And the healing virtues of the Holy Spirit will always be there. It's difficult right now to sense. It's difficult right now to feel. But it's going to get there. You're going to feel it again. You're going to feel it. I want to feel it. I want to feel more than anything. I want to feel His presence. I felt His presence when they were singing that song about my glorious God this morning. Because He is One of my favorite scriptures is in 1 John 3. It says, what manner of love hath the Father bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God? Little translation of that. What kind of foreign love is this? That he would bestow his love on us and we would be called the sons of God. And it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know this, when he shall appear, we shall appear with him also, for we shall be like him. We shall see him as he is, and we shall be like him. It's not going to be, oh, glory. It's not going to be as sensational and as you may think. It's not, this seeing God, seeing Jesus, is not going to be the maybe what you think, because you know why? Because you're going to see him as you are. Wow. That's hot off the press. Got that right off the grill. Just for you, he grilled that up right now, just for you. Does he love you or not? Does he care for you or not? You're a big deal to him. He gave Jesus so that he might bring many sons unto glory. Many sons. He was the firstborn among many brethren. We are joint heirs with Christ. We all become the firstborn. We all become like his only child. Oh, come on. We all become that because of Christ. That's why you've been carefully joined together. To be an inhabitant of God's Spirit. I'm glad when I leave here. I'm glad that this building's not God. Aren't you? I'm glad this building's not the temple of God. I'm so glad it's not. Oh, I'm so glad it's not. It's just a sheep shed, I call it. It's just a sheep shed. It's just where we come to get fed and go back out there to carry the presence of God with us. Wherever we go, wherever we are. And one little action, one little word, one little moment of integrity being shown, one little moment of honesty, one little moment of, wow, you're different. You're different. One little moment can change another person's life for eternity because they felt the presence of God. They felt it. I've told you many, many times, there's two things I give God thanks for practically every day. My personal family, my wife, my daughter, my grandchildren, my son-in-law. Every day I thank him for my family, and I thank him for this family. This family. He carefully joined me too. He carefully joined you too. And if you leave here today, and when you pray this week, when you seek God in any way, know that there's a tribe of Israel surrounding you. And you have found your tribe. And part of their grace and part of their spirit. There's only one person. Hear this. There's only one person that the Spirit of God was given without measure, and that was Jesus. He's the only person that was given the Spirit of God without measure. All of us are given a measure. A measure of grace, a measure of faith. We're given a measure so that your measure and my measure can come together. And so when I'm praying, I'm not just praying, Buren praying, the tribe of Israel of Eagles Way Church is praying. And your faith and your grace and your spirit is pouring forth through me because we're that connected. You getting this? We're that connected. And so I'm not alone, ever alone. I've got this whole family of God, this tribe of Israel that's with me. It's the Kanos tribe. Say, I'm of the Kanos tribe. I'm Kanos people. I belong to Beeren's fraternity. The Kanos fraternity. We believe that all things are becoming new. We believe that hope is the anchor of our soul. We believe that faith, hope, and love are not three words that mean nothing. They're the three words that take us to the highest level of living that we can possibly have on this planet. That without faith, it's impossible to please God. And he that cometh to God must believe that he is God and the rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Without faith, we couldn't be saved. Without grace, we couldn't be saved. Without love, we'd be nothing. We'd be a sounding brass and a tingling cymbal without his love. Without the hope of expectations of the future, things are going to be better. They're going to be... All right, stand up. Man, so glad you're here, buddy. I don't know why, I just want to put my hand on your back this morning coming in. Just glad, I'm glad you're here. I think you found your tribe. I think you found your tribe. I like your hair too. Yeah. But I like you. And we're joined together. Oh, there's power in unity. Can I quote one more scripture to you? Thank you. Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It's like the oil upon Aaron's head that flowed down over his whole garment. It's like the dew on Mount Hermon that flowed down and it watered all the valley. For there, there, the Lord commanded his blessing. Wow. See, when you're joined together with a group of people, there, he's commanded his blessing on your life. There, he's commanded his blessing on your life. Wow. Don't you think it was tempting? Oh, I didn't finish that story. $200 more a week, a house with all the electricity paid. Their budget, everything was paid for, Chris. Their budget was $700 a week. Anything over $700 a week, I'd get 50% of, and they didn't care how far it went. Pop and I had a little. Now, we didn't have that. We wasn't these spiritual giants that went, I ain't doing that. No, I had to think about it. It was something to think about, but it wasn't my tribe. And I'm thankful 1,000 times now. I found my tribe, and I stayed with my tribe. I was about to do something that God should have just knocked me upside the head with. He said, you dummy, I placed you there. I placed you there. I want you to buy into this thing. Grab this with every part of your being. God placed you here. He placed you here. Wherever you came from, he placed you here. As the band comes and get ready to sing, come on. Whichever the last two songs you want to do is fine with me. No, it's not. Do that other one, the one that I'm really feeling. That one. So, I want you to thank God for his presence. Did you do that? God, thank you for your presence. Thank you for your presence. Thank you for my people. Thank you for my family. Thank you for my spiritual family. Thank you for placing me here. Thank you, God, for your spirit that feeds us. Thank you for the word of the living God. Thank you for that Logos that becomes the engrafted word, and the engrafted word becomes that living word and that walked out word. I pray, God, for people that are here this morning and maybe don't know where they need to be. Would you just seal that in their hearts today? Would you just bring that into reality to them? We're grateful, Lord. We don't want to take for granted one moment further, not a day longer. Take for granted, God, this family that you brought us together. I want to cherish it, protect it, hold it dear. It's my lifeline. Even when I don't know, their grace is working in my life. Their love is working in my life. Their spirit's working in my life. I'm victorious because of them. Because we are one together in you. And thank you for that, Lord. Thank you. Thank you. Amen.
God of creation, there at the start, before the beginning of time. With no point of reference, you spoke to the dark and fleshed out the wonder of life. As you speak, 100 billion galaxies are born in the vapor of your breath. Planets fall. If the stars were made to worship, so will I. Evolving in pursuit of what you said.
Hallelujah. If our ushers will just stand at the back doors. If you have your connection cards already filled out, members, you should. If you're visiting with us, we'd love for you to. You can just drop those connection cards in the bucket and your offering as you're leaving. God bless you. Have a wonderful day.